This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Your Majesty.
I think we have enough respect for one another personally to ask ourselves some of the bigger questions. Woman to woman. We are the same age after all.
Really?
Just 6 months between us.
Oh? And who is the senior?
I am. Ma'am.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. Together today, we are reviewing season 4 of The Crown, which is, I think, sorry, I'm doing my Princess Diana gosh, which is one of, I think, Netflix's really flagship shows at this point.
Yes, my timelines on social media have been The Crown. It's become one of those things that followers of The Crown, at least, have gotten very invested in. And 4 seasons in, I think we've kind of learned to grow with this family and we sort of love them and hate them. And it's a pivotal season. Season 4 is a pivotal season because it's the season that Diana is introduced. It's the season that Margaret Thatcher is introduced. So there was a lot to look forward to. I'm also very excited because we've kind of dragged Arvin in at this point. This is his first Crown, season 4.
Yeah. So they're going to be like, I think, 2 parts to my review. Like, one's going to be very personal. The other one's going to be like, you know, just objectively looking at it as a show and as a production. As a show and as a production, I think it's Netflix's best. Like, it's a huge, like, it looks amazing. The performances are like top notch. Maybe even like Netflix's masterpiece, you know, cinematography, set design, all that stuff. For me, it was like painfully boring, like excruciatingly boring. Like it was a task to get through. And there were a lot of times when I was wishing that it would end at like episode 5. And then I would look at the episode list and there were like 5 more. And I was like, oh my God, what kind of torture is this? So for me personally, I'm never doing this again. The Crown is like, this is the end of it. But as a production, it's like, oh wow.
So really glad you said that, because I think it opens us up to talk about why The Crown exists. Mm. So my relationship with The Crown is that I also got into it because of the hype, right? Everybody said, you must watch it. It's so amazing. There were all these memes and reviews and all these think pieces. So I was like, all right, fine, I'll watch it. And from season 1 to season 2, which is when I stopped, I've never been able to resolve to myself why I'm watching it. And yet, as I am watching it, I'm always drawn along. I want to know what's going to happen. I live and die for the petty little remarks that happen at family dinners. You know, it's just incredibly interesting stuff while also being boring. I completely get that it's dull. You know, why do these people exist? Why are we still fascinated by them? Mm. And yet, there's something in it. And I think with The Crown, a lot of it has to do with it's such a beautiful show to watch. And generally speaking, across the board, and it extends to this season too, the performances are so tight and, you know, really, really controlled and detailed and beautifully done. And so it is the performances, I feel, that drag you along. I finished season 4 wanting season 5. When it comes out, I probably won't watch it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I always felt like it's a very atas soap opera. I will say this though, I feel like there was more in the first 2 seasons, and the first 2 seasons had a lot more of a historical context and a lot more of character development. And I think it's got, maybe at least for me, a funny thing to do with the less you know about the people you're watching, the more interesting it is to hear about them. So with season 1 and season 2, besides the fact that the actors were just brilliant, there is a sort of a blank canvas that they can paint on that's very, very interesting. I felt with season 3, and now even more so with season 4, because they're coming very, very close to present day, that it's the seams are starting to show. It's starting to feel like you're sort of taking the bare bones of particular events and then stretching them out to create drama. This could have easily been 8 episodes. You know, I didn't feel like it needed 10 episodes. There were a couple of episodes episodes that just felt like filler, because there's also the fact that they want the big Diana separation to happen next season, not this season. So you can see the show now starting to ration its story out. And I'm not sure that that's why it feels so slow, because I felt the season felt slow as well.
Agreed.
So I think like one of my biggest issues was that it's too recent. Like, I like period pieces, so maybe I would have enjoyed seasons 1, 2, and 3. I haven't seen them, but because they were sort of they are sort of far back. This season is it is a period piece, but it's also very recent. Like, you know, Princess Diana was in the news when I was a kid. It's stuff that you remember. You know a lot about the families. You've seen them in like documentaries. You've seen them in the news. So even then, when they sort of show you certain events that happen, you're like, I've seen this. I've seen this on the History Channel. I've seen this on like Nat Geo. I don't have to watch it again in like a very, very slow show. But that being said, just watching them perform and watching them play their roles, Margaret Thatcher especially, like oh my god, it's top-notch acting all around. But like Lynn said, I don't know why I'm watching it or why I would continue.
See, that's interesting, because I didn't really like Gillian Anderson as Margaret Thatcher. I felt like there were moments where she was good, but it felt to me like a very all outward tics and body language and you know, turning the neck and the gritting the teeth and the speaking a certain way, but not a lot of substance. She was very watchable. I was never bored watching her, especially the face-offs between the Queen and her. Everyone kept talking about Gillian Anderson as Margaret Thatcher. Wasn't my favorite, I must say.
So the person that I think has actually been getting the most press is Emma Corrin, right? Emma Corrin, who plays Princess Diana from when she is a very impressionable 19-year-old to a rather disillusioned 30-something-year-old. Which is where we find her at the end of the season. Actually, I'm not sure she's even touched 30 at that point, but it's around there. You know, she's still very young, but she's had some time to like run through the palace machinery and have been wrung out by the family in many ways. And I think her performance is a combination of what you were talking about, Sharmila, where it's a lot of tics. I mean, the fringe, the sway of the head, the looking upwards through the hair, just all the familiar Diana faces that we know from our childhoods. You know, she was, of course, I think famously, what, the most photographed woman in the world. So we're all very familiar with her. So there is that. But I think the fact that it's also quite delicate, and there's other stuff that powers that performance outside of just the outward tics that make you feel, and I think in answer to what we're trying to talk about, The Crown is at its best when it feels as if it's giving you a glimpse behind an unbreakable wall, because the British family, the British royal family, is unknowable in many ways. And so The Crown is kind of trying to push the curtains aside and say, look, this is what it was like. And we know it's not the case, but it's at its best when it almost convinces us.
That's a really good point. And that's probably why, for me, the most interesting people actually still end up being the people you don't hear a lot about. I liked Emma Corrin as Diana. You know, it was a really fine performance, but I wasn't particularly interested in some ways, almost because real life was as bizarre as what the show tells you. In reality, a lot of the stuff they show us in this program, we kind of already know. Where else, you know, when you hear about Charles and so Josh O'Connor is another great performance that I think people don't talk enough about. Josh O'Connor as Charles, he captures Charles so well. And because he was the staid, sour person in the background historically, watching him get more depth in the show was a lot more interesting for me than watching Diana.
Also, it's a hard ask. Huh? Prince Charles is a hard ask.
Yes.
Because in the course of this season, he's basically terrible to his family. He's spoiled. He's in a relationship where when his sister casts doubt on it, if this were a true sweeping romance, you would go, no, that's ridiculous. They are the one true pairing. It's going to work. But instead, when Princess Anne makes comments about his relationship with Camilla, you think, no, that feels right. I think that you might be misjudging this a little. And he's just really terrible, but also very human. I understand why he's wanting to do what he does.
But just really sad and human, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you see how like vulnerable he is and why he does the things he does. But, you know, interestingly, I thought I wouldn't latch on to the Diana storyline as much, but that was my favorite storyline in this season. Always because, I mean, she's always been like a fascinating figure, right? She's always been like the rogue element in the monarchy. She's always been the outlier. Although we've seen it again and again, watching it here sort of dramatized was nice. And that is the one storyline that I was able to latch on to. I was waiting to see what she would do next or what scene she would be in next. So if they could have condensed this into a Diana spin-off with just her as the main protagonist, I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more. Maybe 40 minutes, not 54 minutes, and maybe like 6 episodes, I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
It's a Netflix problem, right? This idea of duration and yeah, I completely get it. So we're talking today about The Crown season 4. Arvind struggled. I really liked it while also having my existential issues with it. Sharmila, how would you sum up your relationship?
About there. I very much enjoyed it, but yeah, I have issues.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. Let us know, are you currently making your way through The Crown? Have you already finished it? Are you excited about season 5, which we'll get to after this as well? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 to tell us. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Here is the stuff of which fairy tales are made. The prince and princess on their wedding day. But fairy tales usually end at this point with the simple phrase, they lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvind. And together we are reviewing The Crown. I wanted to bring something up that maybe is more for Sharmila and I, since Arvind, you haven't seen the first two seasons, but basically, there is a rotating cast, right, in The Crown, because they are tracking somebody or a family over the course of like 60 years. You know, it's just a tremendous amount of time. And so the first seasons had your Claire Foys, your Matt Smiths, Vanessa Kirby. And then now in that central trio, we are seeing Olivia Colman, who I love. I just love Tobias Menzies and Helena Bonham Carter. And next season, it's actually going to be even... They just keep casting really great people. Next season, I think it's going to be Imelda Staunton.
Jonathan Pryce.
That's right. Yeah. And Leslie Manville. So it's just a crazy prestige level cast. I miss them. I'm just going to say, I really miss the cast members when they rotate out because I feel like I've gotten used to them.
No, me too. I really miss, as I said earlier, I really miss Claire Foy and Matt Smith. And I think you do gain something with the new actors, but you also lose something. You lose a certain... whatever it is that an actor brings to the role, it's almost like even Elizabeth herself, I feel like she's become a different person. And she is. She's being played by a different actor. So that's interesting in some sense. I both like it and I don't like it, if it makes sense. And I don't know that that's a bad thing.
If you guys could recommend like one season to me, which one would it be?
Season one, for sure. Season one. If you only watch season one and stop, it would give you everything to know about why people kept watching this.
Season one is the reason why I'm a Claire Foy defender. I don't care that perhaps in movies she hasn't necessarily flourished as much. I don't care that people don't think she's as good a Lisbeth Salander as the others. I will always love Claire Foy because of her performance as Queen Elizabeth, because it's tremendous. She sees her through from the time where she first takes the throne all the way up to when she's starting to get used to it, but also starting to get weighed down by it. Because I think coming back to the season we're talking about, season four, the attraction of The Crown is something that is set up in the early season, which is the push and pull between privilege and constraints. Because of course, they are like the most privileged family in the world, but they're also the most constrained. And so that is set up. And if you don't understand where that's coming from, then a lot of season four just feels like pure privilege and pure, you know, people being spoiled and immature. But actually, the show's been setting that dynamic up for some time.
Because I was trying to figure out in this season, what is the show about? What is the central point of the show? And I think I've arrived at something which actually feels kind of sad. And we talked about it a little bit with Charles. I think it's about heritage, inheritance, but also the inheritance of trauma. Because you can see how much that trauma has been carried over the generations and how now it's starting to fall apart. And a lot of that, because if you only came into season four, right, you'd see Olivia Colman as a parent and wonder what is wrong with her. Like, why is she so cold? Why is she so unable to connect to her children? But if you watched the earlier seasons, especially season one, you understand her as a character, whether or not this is what the Queen really is like in real life. Claire Foy shows you how incredibly young she was when she took on this role and all of the sacrifices that she had to sacrifice of herself. I think there's a sort of layeredness to that character that Olivia Colman, as good an actress as she is, has not gotten from the script in the seasons that she's been in.
So season four basically still needs the foundations of seasons 1 to 3 for it to work, for it to properly work, I guess.
Yeah, because much as it is about other people, and actually Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip have become sort of peripheral characters compared to how they were at the start when they were the main focus of everything. But I think that the crown is still about her. There are entire speeches made about the fact that she is the center, she is the heart, she is everything, she is the source from which they all draw their power. And so if you don't have the... I understand why Olivia Colman's performance is not like Claire Foy's, because they are actually different people. They're completely different people. Claire Foy, in many ways, or Claire Foy's queen, is where Charles was, except that she was more disciplined. And so where you're at now is somebody who says, I've been through it, I know it, I don't need to deal with your emotional nonsense. And also, you know, there's all that other stuff about whether or not she was a very present mom. But all that stuff is laid out in the earlier seasons and the foundation of those performances. So yes, I would agree that if you come in at season four or if you're starting at season five next year, that's fine. But you miss out, you miss out on your Winston Churchills and all the rest of it.
Yeah. Speaking of Churchill, how did you guys like the larger political landscape of the show? Because I felt like the show couldn't decide what it wanted to do in that sense. Did it want it to be political? Did it not? Was it about the family and Diana, or was it about Thatcherism, which is a huge part of British history?
I want to say that it was good, but no, I found it equally. It's this, the pacing. It's all, for me, it was all about the pacing. Like, the political stuff was slow, the family stuff was slow.
I think the problem with the political stories in the show is that they are still told through the point of view of the Queen, who's supposed to be apolitical, actually. And so I think the show tries to take that tack, but also wants to pass judgment on Margaret Thatcher, but also wants her to be presented as a three-dimensional person. And so they managed to do all of that, but halfway.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like the show is actually the most successful when it's showing us the little snippy nonsense that they're doing when they have a new guest at Balmoral. That episode I loved so much more than, so basically in that episode, both Margaret Thatcher and Princess Diana come to Balmoral for the first time and they have to go through a sort of trial by fire with the entire royal family. Because you can identify with that. You can identify the having your huge family meeting someone new and being judged in a way that trying to make something about the Commonwealth seem relatable isn't really, because there are many more nuances to that situation that the show doesn't quite get. So I think the heart and the drama of it is actually in these, as you said earlier, the behind-the-scenes moments that we all like to imagine and maybe snicker at a little bit.
So obviously the show is going to come to its end when it catches up with whatever's going on now, right? So they're going to... they're going to try to prolong that as far as possible. So they're going to stretch out like seasons and spend a lot of times in like decades. So do you think that's a good idea?
I think that they are actually planning to end it in a couple of seasons and the show is done. Because
I reckon it's the next two that are supposed to be the last.
Yeah, so it is finishing off in the next two.
Many people suspect that Diana's death will be the end point, because the movie The Queen kind of addresses what happens after. Not that these exist in the same continuum, but in a sense, that would be a natural end point for the show. We don't know, but that does seem like a logical place for the show to end, I would think.
That makes sense.
I just wanted to say that there is one killer moment in which a character says, not everything in this family can be blamed on the abdication. And I loved it so much because that's not a line that you could have had in any other show about any other family, about any other historical figure. And I think that is what The Crown does when it does it well. You know, that's the kind of moments that are good. But yes, we hear you, Arvin. This is a safe space. We've been talking today about The Crown Season 4. Have you watched it? Are you watching it? Do you understand the point of the show? WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.